Mystic Men, Kimo, Joe, and Daniel Lim. Five fans adore us like we do Le Thomas and the Mystic Men. We are the Mystic Men, Kimo, Joe, and Daniel Lim. Fucking up the airways all the way to Norway are the Mystic Men. Sweet science, that was the model. But then we watched Lawler and McDonald. Life was pretty good, but we were missing something. Then along comes a kid from a place called Crumlin. Brimage, Seaver, Max, and Eddie. Jose, MSG, and Adali are the Mystic Men. Kimo, Joe, and Daniel Lim. Putting on Bar and Smeagol, that's fucking illegal. And Mystic Men, we are the Mystic Men. Kimo, Joe, and Daniel Lim. Edmund, self-improvement, more head movement. And Mystic Men.
A lot of people have been asking us, when are the Mystic Men coming back? And it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kimo.
Oh, he slapped him!
What a way to return. Oh, the return of the notorious one, ye. How's it going, boys?
Auspicious.
Good, good. How are you guys?
The vocal quality on that intro is so poor from myself.
Mate, that voice, if I was a chick in college and you sang that to me in my dorm room with a guitar, my panties would just slip off immediately. And I'm pretty sure you've done that a lot of times, Joe. Don't even try to deny it.
I can't lie.
what are songs that you used to play? Like, did you like whip out a Backstreet Boys song or something? Like, I Want It That Way or?
Alkaline Trio, Radio.
Alkaline Trio, that doesn't get you puss, bro.
Oh, it definitely gives you puss. Bit of crowd, it gives you puss for sure.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I got a grenade in my hands, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh god.
Oh man, I'm as dumb.
That man is not dumb.
You can't go anywhere, dummy. You got an interview with me. TJ was like, I'm done with this interview. It's like, you can't go anywhere, dummy.
The Dom.
Rest Team Alpha Male, man.
Where is Dom? Dom's out, isn't he?
Oh, he's training.
He's out, he's back training, huh?
Yeah, I think he's coming back soon. But...
Let me just pull up his Sherdog.
He's always in rehab. Like, I feel like he's...
Yeah, I know.
90% of his career, he's like rehabbing something.
Mate, he ain't fought since 2016.
Nuts.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah, we talk about long playoffs. People are shitting on Connor for not fighting, but Dom hasn't fought in almost 4 years now.
Cruz, he's still 34. You know, he's still got a couple of fights in him.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy.
But, you know, he realized it wasn't about the belt, so he's happy. Yeah.
Fair play to him.
I don't know, man. I still would like to see him again in the ring. I mean, maybe against TJ when he comes back from his suspension, which I assume isn't too long anymore. What is it, like maybe 5-6 months? I don't really know at the top of my head.
I don't understand. I'd still watch the Cruz Garbrandt rebush.
I think stylistically that doesn't favor him very much.
Yeah, I wouldn't just because Garbrandt has absolutely outclassed him.
Yeah,
but Garbrandt's regressed, doesn't he?
I don't know if he's regressed. I just think he just fought stylistically bad opponents for him.
Yeah, and you need to be able to punch to put him away. Like, if you can hurt Garbrandt, then you're gold. Yeah. But Cruz couldn't fucking hurt anybody, right?
Yeah.
So that's why this doesn't favor him.
Think he fights.
It feels good, guys. It feels natural again just to talk shit a little bit about MMA. It has been so long. I honestly don't remember the last show.
MMA, just everything.
Yeah, boxing too, man. We were going to do a coalition too soon for all those 100 fans listening in.
Yeah, our 5 listeners on Mixler.
Yeah, exactly. Just quickly mention what we're going to do. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big fight that's happening this weekend. And as usual, we have like a fucking laundry list of scraps that we haven't covered over the last, year? So maybe we can pick and choose a few afterwards to talk about what our thoughts were. And then, maybe we can look forward a little bit as well to a couple of matchups that are, coming up. So, Lim, I want to start with you, man. Like you've been a little bit off the McGregor wagon with all the shit that happened in the past.
Yeah.
And it's actually still quite recent, so I'm quite surprised that people are acting like this is some sort of reborn new man, you know? When, for example, that drunken fucking punch incident happened only 6 months ago. What are your thoughts going into this fight about Conor?
It's weird. Like, I know we were talking before the show. I'm not really all that hyped about the fight either, but I mean, once you're so invested in a fighter or athlete like I was with Conor when he came up, you just can't forget about that person ever. It's like your first taste of puss. And I remember I had my first taste of puss. It was at my mom's restaurant with this girl that was not a good influence on my life, and I'll never forget her. And that's the same way I feel about Conor McGregor. He's done some really awful shit in the sense that the crimes or whatever were heinous, but they were just stupid shit, like stuff that like a cocaine addict would do. You know, the punching the old dude in the bar, fucking going to Miami, acting like a douchebag, breaking somebody's phone, the whole like allegation of him potentially molesting or raping some chick at a hotel in Ireland. I don't know. It's just too much shit to keep track of. And for me, what's more annoying is just how he refuses to give Khabib credit for completely dominating his ass. You know, he talks about the fight as if it was some close contest when it really wasn't. I understand that part of that is just him having to save face. That's the mentality of an athlete, yada, yada, yada. But anytime Conor fights, I'm always going to watch. I'm always going to support him. But, I mean, it has been a really strenuous past, I think, 2 years to kind of see how much his career has deteriorated since the Eddie fight.
What about you, Joe?
The thing that attracted me to McGregor, obviously he was coming up and just nuking people, but I just liked his approach. It was that ridiculous self-confidence, but also like the humbling sort of attitude that he was only sort of a channel for the MMA, like, it's hard to explain, but he was so in tune with like what it took to become successful. And he was, you know, imbuing a lot of the values that I really liked at that particular point in time, where he was obviously a very confident guy, but he was a big believer in like changing things up and like criticizing traditional methods. He was really progressive in his training attitudes, like all the movement stuff that he used to do, getting the movement coach, and that I think his approach to the mental side of the game was amazing, and his own mental strength and his surety, like peak Conor, I think, is probably like from Aldo through to Alvarez. For me, that was him at his best. But I think he's just another case example of what happens when you surround yourself with too many people who tell you what you want to hear and not what you should hear. And I'm really, disappointed that he's completely lost his way. Like, I don't even think he's lost his way a little bit. I don't know if he's coming out of the other side of it, but the hitting the guy in the bar was one thing, but then the sexual assault allegations, to me, that's like, you know, he was like such an icon for monogamy with his relationship with Dee back in the day. And it's like, he's just pissed. He's pissing all over that. He's potentially done some really fucked up things. I mean, there's that thing about him trying to pay one of his alleged victims a payoff to get rid of her. You know, that wasn't the McGregor that I fucking used to idolize. This is a very different guy. And, you know, that's just his journey and he's had to deal with a lot of things, but I don't know, man. He's just completely, I just think he's completely lost his way. He's lost his head. The fame's gone to his head. He's lost what made him successful in the first place. And I think he's now going back over the same sort of ground of, you know, I'm going to remind everyone what I'm about. But the best thing about Conor was that he always did new, he always was doing new things. He was always changing the game. He was reinventing the game. And I think he's just now peddling out the same sort of stuff. And I think fans are getting a bit old of it, a bit tired. I think fans think this is the shtick now. And we've had this shtick since sort of like 2015, 2016. And it's all well and good when you're winning, but you turn into a really shitty human being on the outside as well, on the outside world. And there'll always be the Conor diehards who will just love him no matter what. But for me, seeing guys like Cormier and even Cruz to an extent, where you think genuinely they're good guys outside of the sport, that kind of makes me like them even more as fighters. And I think it's gone the other way with McGregor, where I still, you can't not respect his athletic achievements, but he...
Yeah, I mean, John Jones too.
Yeah. John Jones is a great example as well. For me, they're in the same category now, where questionable human beings at the moment, but, you know, incredible athletes that achieved a lot in the sport. So, you know, I treat him the same way that I treat John Jones, where I'm like, yeah, I respect him, but, you know, I don't think he's that good a bloke anymore.
But if I can just jump in there, for me, the key difference between John Jones and McGregor is that John keeps winning, right? And if you keep on winning and you keep on performing at the highest level and you're this pound for pound level guy, it almost becomes appealing to be a jackass, if that makes sense, right? So you see it with John Jones, like people have actually come almost first full circle around him, right? And now he's just kind of being himself. He doesn't really pull the Christian card anymore that much. And people are just like, okay, this guy is just a dick, but he's an incredible fighter, so I'm going to tune in, you know. But with McGregor, he's always, you know, he's always kind of jumped around on that red line a little bit. You know, he goes over it, then he goes back, then he's humble again after the fight. Then he goes over it, then he's back again. For example, with Khabib, he went way over it, and he obviously went over it in his personal life as well. But then you add to that when you stop winning and you stop performing like you used to, that's when all that shit becomes old real quick, right?
Yeah. I think with McGregor as well, it's always he has to go to the next level. So the stuff he was doing with Aldo, that doesn't fly, like that doesn't grab enough people's attention. So he had to do what he did with Khabib, which is like actually fits, like the stuff in MSG and the insults about his religion. He felt that he had to go there to keep the image of this McGregor who does all these new things and says whatever he wants. It just has to get more and more extreme. It's a bit like these fucking reality shows now. Like 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, it was Jersey Shore. Well, now they're even more obscene and even more extreme because we get sensitized to that.
But do you think, because for me as an outsider, I don't know the ins and outs because I'm not there, but for me as an outsider, the Khabib thing seemed and still is personal. It doesn't sound to me like that, even though he kind of, you know, maybe have said that in the ring, it's just business. I don't feel it's just business with this guy. I feel like there was some genuine animosity and there still is. That's why he refuses out of his hatred for the guy to like give him credit, right? Like with Diaz, you could always tell that McGregor kind of liked him. So when he got beat, he was humble in defeat, right? Even when he was like trolling him during press conferences, he never really went super low, you know, cholo gangster from the hood or whatever. That was it. But like he never really went fucking low. He never insulted his family or anything like that.
But I don't what was the beef? Where did it start? It all started with Artem, didn't it?
It was the goat.
Yeah.
But like I don't understand how you can hate someone so much for what he did to Artem. It doesn't logically make sense. Like if they were both from Ireland or he was from the UK or something like that, but McGregor and Khabib have nothing that they could potentially argue about apart from what happened to Arsene.
I think McGregor probably at the time generally thought that Khabib is full of shit as well. I don't think he likes his whole way of talking and the way he represents himself, right? I think he probably thinks he's a hypocrite, right? Like you pretend to be like this sort of holy guy on one hand, but then you act like a fucking, you know, mobster on the other hand. Yeah, exactly. I think that's where the issue lies. And I think those whole two camps just had beef and it just escalated. And then there was the massive brawl. It just got really, really fucking personal, man. And then Khabib, again, is not fucking innocent in this either, right? Like he's also insulted him very badly. Like he called him a fucking rapist of all things. Like that's, you know, like that is.
Yeah, it might be true.
Yeah, but we don't know, right?
No.
So,
I still think Khabib's insults were more grounded, at least based on some sort of reality or his perception of it, whereas Conor just talking shit on another person's religion, even like as myself, I mean, I think religion fucks up a lot of things, but I would never denounce somebody for their religious beliefs to the extent that Conor did. That was just bullshit. And what makes it even more, I completely understand your guys' take. I mean, it is the fact that that Conor hates Khabib so much that he can't give him any kind of credit at all, but it's just everything that also took place right afterwards, Khabib jumping out of the octagon and just smashing Dylan Danis in the fucking face. Like Khabib, like fucking owned Conor and his entire team on that night. And it was so brilliant. And that kind of level of defeat and that image of Conor just tapping out in the fourth round in that Khabib fight is just so, it's just so stark. And to me, like, why would Khabib rematch Conor? I mean, obviously, a shit ton of money in Russia, but he fucking owned him. Like, he has no need to fight him again.
Yeah, I think athletically, you can't say in any way that that was a competitive fight. I don't think there was a single point in that fight where I felt Conor was having any form of success. It was probably as dominant a win as McGregor's win over Alvarez. Like, did you ever think Khabib was in trouble?
No, I mean, I think you can make the argument that it was as dominant as Alvarez, but just because of Conor's style, and anytime somebody beats somebody up on the feet rather than on the ground, it just looks better, I think.
Yeah,
you're probably right. I mean, look, I was very disappointed in that night, but for me, like during the entire buildup of the Khabib fight, something just seemed off. Like he was a fucking raging lunatic as well at the press conferences. It wasn't smart anymore. It was just like, it was just insane and just raging. And I don't know. He just seemed completely fucking loose. You know what I mean? And I don't mean loose in the good way. I mean, just he mentally, he was just in a different fucking planet, man. I don't know. Like he just seemed very loud and aggressive and out of control. And one thing I do believe that he says in the interviews nowadays is that he was on the booze a lot. Like, I do believe that. That like you said, and there might have been some sniff as well involved. Like, he just seemed like he was out of control. And I think if you think of it, you know, objectively, like, he probably could have prepared better for that fight in terms of taking care of his health. Now, stylistically, it's still a fucking nightmare for him, and it probably would have ended the same way. But I did see some stuff in there, like some of the first, you know, takedown scrambles that were going on. They were pretty decent, man. Like Conor's got his ground game is not bad, but Khabib is just way too dominant. And when you have cardio issues, it's just not going to end for you well, because you might be able to defend the first 5-6 takedowns, but eventually he's going to get you down and then he's going to smash your fucking face in. So it's, yeah, I have no interest in the rematch either, guys, to be honest.
No, I agree. I think the more interesting part of that fight wasn't the fight. It was just this, you were witnessing like the degeneration of an icon before the fight, like emotionally. Like, he was I think half the reason he was losing control was because he knew that he hadn't trained properly. He knew that he hadn't properly prepared himself. And he probably knew that even if he had prepared himself, he'd probably going to lose anyway. He reminded me a lot of, like, in a way, Darren Till after the Cowboy, where he was just gun shy. I mean, the fact that Conor never even, when he had Khabib on the feet, he wouldn't even throw any sort of conviction that he did against, like, Alvarez.
I think I'll agree with you halfway. I think Conor's the kind of person where he thinks he can beat anybody. I think if he got his ass beat by Khabib 9 times on the 10th fight, he would think he would beat him. But I also do think there's some way to be said, not just him probably drinking, doing extracurricular activities, not training properly, but you know, if you want to give him credence, he did say that his one of his feet were really, really fucked up. So that's why he had a fight in that more of a traditional come forward boxing style rather than that loose herky jerky style that he fought against Albert Aldo. I think there is something to be said about that. I don't think Conor, that was Conor's like optimal striking style. And I don't think it's a striking style moving forward. I probably think he had some kind of injury in that fight. So I think a Khabib fight would be competitive if they were to fight again, but again, it's just, I think I'm like 99% sure on the outcome.
He just has to knock him out. That's the problem, right? The blueprint for Conor on his own success is there. You gotta perform in the first couple of rounds. Otherwise, he's pretty much done for, man. Like, he's only had against, you know, even in the Diaz fight, like, it was razor close, man.
But they should have stopped it in the fourth. Like, they should have stopped. Like, you could easily see a stoppage at the end of that round.
Of which fight?
In the fourth round.
Sorry, guys, you got cut off for the second. Of which fight?
I think Diaz 2. I can't remember if it was the third round or the fourth round.
I think it was
the fourth. Like, you could easily have seen the stoppage there for Diaz. Like, it was amazing that they let that go on.
Are you talking about the second fight? I highly disagree with that.
Man, watch it again. Watch it again. He's done. Conor is done at the end of that.
No. I strongly disagree with that.
Yeah. Anyways, we're making the same kind of sin, error, whatever you want to call it, as the media is doing with this Cowboy fight. I mean, this review show was supposed to be, or this preview show was supposed to be about Conor against Cowboy. And just like the media, I think we're completely overlooking this matchup. I don't know if it's because of lack of excitement or if we think Cerrone just isn't a worthy opponent at this stage of his career. But I do think it's kind of funny that, you know, it's already been 30 minutes almost and we've talked about fuck all except the fight.
It's just because whenever you talk about Conor McGregor, it's never just one fight, you know, it's a whole build up, it's a legacy, it's an image, it's the controversy. It's hard to stick to one point, but you're right, Lim. We should actually break this fight down technically, man, because I personally think it is a good fight. I have my doubts about it being at 170 for Conor in terms of his ability to win it. But I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a stand up battle for how long it lasts. And I do, because it is at 170, I do see it going a little bit. I'm not too sure if Conor's just gonna go in there and knock him out. I personally don't really like the way he's looked in the past at 170. I think he's a little chunky, you know? I really like him a weight class below. He's just looser, you know? He looks big, he looks fast, and And he looks jacked as well. He looks ripped, you know. I just don't think he looks that good at 170, man. But go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say Cowboy is obviously an aged fighter that's still top level, but he's taken a lot of damage in his career, and I also wouldn't be surprised if Conor, you know, stops him. But my question is also around McGregor, man, because inactivity in MMA can be a lethal thing, right? It can impact your career very quickly if you're not active enough, despite what Dominic Cruz says about ring rust and all that shit. McGregor has been in a couple of wars. I don't know if he's still in his quote unquote prime. I don't really know. He's been very inactive. He had a few fights where he took a lot of shots. And I think apart from a few rare, you know, stars in the game, like, a lot of time your window of success is kind of short, and it changes drastically, man. Like, if you look at somebody like Chris Weidman, for example, at one point we all thought he was fucking pound for pound, and then after one or two fights, boom, it's done. You know, if you look at Rockhold, same story. It can change rapidly, and regardless about the fact that he's still relatively young, I'm curious about where McGregor still is. Can he still be explosive? Can he still pull the trigger like that? I don't really know. And in that sense, I think, you know, the Cowboy fight is a good litmus test for that. But if I had to pick somebody, I'd probably go with McGregor because I just favor him stylistically. And for some reason, I do think Cowboy is dumb enough to fucking just stand with him and not even try to take this to the ground. To at least not even to just try to wrestle, but also to set up his own shots, make Connor think, right? I don't really trust Cowboy in big fights as well for obvious reasons. So yeah, I'm thinking McGregor. I just don't know if he's going to stop him, man. Maybe by decision and gets dropped a couple of times.
I think the weight was something that when the fight was announced, I thought the worst immediately. I thought the last time he was up there, he raised a thin decision against Diaz, who's, you know, top 15 welterweight and was old. Obviously Cerrone isn't at his best or near his best, but you know, he's still a good fighter. Like, he's still a genuine welterweight. He went 5 rounds with Alia Quinta last, was it May? He obviously has a gas tank to go that far. And he'll know, you know, get the win against McGregor. I disagree. I think he'll probably box him. I think he'll box him for, like, for about 3-4 rounds, try and stay away from any decent left hand. And he'll know that McGregor will gas, especially at 170. I don't buy the fact that McGregor has suddenly got this new training regime where he's, you know, incredibly good now in cardio. He'll always have the same problem as George Groves had, which is that
I would have never imagined somebody would have made a McGregor to George Groves comparison in my life.
That's like the most obvious person I can think of who is super, super talented as a fighter, but for just some reason, they will just always have shit cardio. Like, it is just one of those things. Tim Bradley will always have insane cardio. George Groves will have shit cardio. That is just, unfortunately, one of the facts of life.
But his timing is perfect!
But if McGregor just fought 3 round fights, do you know what I mean? He'd be incredible.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Yeah, but a fight is 5 rounds, and this is going to be 5 fucking rounds, man. So
maybe that's one of the reasons why he was just destroying guys on his way up, because they were all just 3-round fights, so he knew that he only had to get through 3 rounds.
Well, not only that, you need to be able to avoid him, man. And I think, you know, you spoke for quite a long time in your first take, and you said something really interesting, man, which I think people forget about McGregor, man. The guy did kind of change the narrative around MMA stand-up fighting. Just like John Jones did, I think he came in with a fresh look, a style that you hadn't really seen before. And it's not just about landing a left hand, man. It's that movement. It's that he kind of has that in and out. You know, he's an excellent counter puncher, but he can also press to action. You know, like, he has very interesting ways of cutting angles and landing that left hand. He mixes it up with these kicks, you know, like, not a lot of people do that, man. Like, you look at the way he was breaking down Chad Mendes as well. There's a lot of different things that he does. So we do have to give him credit for that, man. He's a very interesting striker, but again, is he going to mix it up altogether, or is he just going to stand there like he did against Khabib and just, you know, try to land a lazy left hand? I don't really know, because Cerrone is a lot more diverse.
Yeah, but also, like, dude, Cerrone has gotten fucked up his last 2 fights. And granted, they're against good fighters, but I look at the Gaethje fight, and I think Connor's a more credible striker than Gaethje. I mean, you can argue about power, despite being at 170. The Gaethje fight was at 55. But I could just totally see Connor knocking Cerrone out, like, on accident in the first round. And, like, in the first minute of the fight, because Cerrone is so vulnerable. And, man, the guy has, I mean, this is going to be his 50th fucking fight, dude. And you look at his resume, and granted, they're against excellent opponents. That's why we all love Cowboy. But he has more losses than he has wins. And most of those losses are by TKO. Gaethje, you look at Ferguson. Obviously, Ferguson, another incredible fighter who Cerrone had success with in the early rounds. But I just think if Conor, even if Conor isn't his prime version of himself, if he's just a little bit cleaner and crisper than the version that he was against Khabib, which I think he will be because he won't have to worry about the takedowns and have to change his style as much to account for that, this shouldn't be that hard of a fight for Conor, unless, of course, it goes later on and he can't get Cerrone out of there. Then, like we've mentioned a couple of times, his gas tank is just not very good, despite the doctor and despite the McGregor fast program, yeah.
one of the things I'm forgetting is that it sort of it sways the picture a little bit, is that he hasn't actually thrown a punch that looks like knocking someone out since the Alvarez fight, which was in 2016.
But to be fair, though, Diaz has probably the best chin and the best resistance or whatever, the best, he like, just takes probably the best punches of any fighter in the
obviously
world.
You had the Mayweather circus, but then, you know, in that fight, fair enough, you can discount that because it's boxing. But it's just, I just think it's been a very long time since I've looked at McGregor in a contest and thought he's a genuine knockout threat.
Mm. I do agree with you, and I think part of that is also moving up in weight, right? Like, this is the one thing I don't understand about doing the fight at 170, because he doesn't look that explosive, right? Yeah. You look at the way the combination he landed on Alvarez. You look at the way he landed on Aldo. Like, he was, man, especially at featherweight. Like, holy moly! Like, he was an explosive fucking puncher, man.
But wouldn't the counter argument be that every time he moved up to fight at 170, he's just fighting 155 pounders and dragging them up?
Yeah, but he's the different. Funny thing is he's fighting those hybrid guys, right? Exactly. Cerrone and Diaz are kind of in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's not like fighting like a Robbie Lawler or a Masvidal or something like that.
But I'm just saying, like, if we were to say that, okay, Conor decided rather to fight Cerrone at 55, do you think he would have a more advantage by having to cut down to 55 and having Cerrone to also have to cut down to 55 and all the weight really at Cerrone?
Yeah.
Would you, Lim, give him full credit if he stops Cerrone in like 30 seconds? Would you consider that a genuine win? Also given that he's been stopped in the last two fights?
I would limit my praise for him in the sense that I would say that he is, by knocking Cerrone out in the first 30 seconds of the fight, I could then say that he's on the level of a Gaethje and a Ferguson now, because I don't put him there right now as of today.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
That's a heavy statement. Okay, but so what are your picks? I assume you're picking McGregor, right, Lim?
Picking McGregor. McGregor. I think it's going to be similar to the Mendes fight. I think he's going to knock him out in two rounds. Knock him out.
What about you, young Joe Morgan?
I think you'd have to pick McGregor because I don't think Cerrone's going to wrestle him at all. I don't think he's going to try and take him down.
I mean, can I ask you guys, when has Cerrone tried to take down an opponent? Because I know his last submission was against Perry.
I think maybe
it's because Perry got him down.
In the Leon Edwards fight, maybe?
Yeah.
Wrestling in that?
What is
There's a couple of fights where he's done that, man. I think the Leon Edwards, man, they showed it on Dan Hardy's breakdown show. I really don't remember the name. But he's done it a couple of times where he gets lit up a little bit. But he does it. He doesn't do it in the big fights or whatever. You know, he does it when it doesn't really matter. And he'll be like, you know what? I'm going to shoot for a takedown because this guy is landing a bit too much. And then he's got some pretty decent jiu-jitsu, you know.
That's why I don't fucking like how Cerrone approaches a fight game, man. As much as I respect him as a person and his kind of anti-Me Too movement shit that he says a lot of times, especially on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would love to go out and drink with the guy, but I just don't like the way he views fighting, man. Like the whole, like, I'll take any fight. If Uncle Dana needs me, I'll accept anything. But like, he doesn't look at the big picture stuff, man. And as much as I hate to say this, like, Bischoff is actually right about Cowboy's career. Like, he should sit down with some kind of advisor. I don't know if he has a manager, but like, imagine if he maybe took half the fights that he did in his career, but rather looked at the long goal or at the end goal. I think it would have been a better outcome. And that's why every time somebody says, oh, Cowboy has all these records, you know, most head kicks, most fights, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, it's because he has like 2 or 3 times more fights than anybody else on the fucking roster. It's like, that's not a perfect, like, sample size that you're looking at. And I don't know. It's just kind of frustrating to me because I don't know if Cowboy's ever going to think like this, but 10, 20 years after he's retired, I don't know. Is he going to have any kind of regrets or is he just happy with the way his career played out?
Dude, how the fuck do you know what Bishop thinks of him? Are you still watching that goddamn show?
Nah, I mean, it was from a couple years ago when Cowboy was on T-Fat K, bruh.
T-Fat K?
Anyways, sweet. Sorry for that aside. But yeah, like I said, I got Connor by a knockout in a round or two. So, could be a bunch of guys. Because I don't know who else is fighting on the card.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck about what else is happening on the card. But let's say that, you know, McGregor knocks him out in the first round, takes very little damage. What would you like to see next for him? Because he's talking about the McGregor season, yeah? So he wants to stay active, which I like. I like the fact that he wants to stay active and work on that craft, yeah? But, who would you like to see him fight next, man?
Man, I mean, Conor, that McGregor fast program has Conor doing wonders, I heard. So I heard if he does well, he's going to take a little sip of that proper whiskey. Get on the McGregor Red program on Monday, yeah, and just go back to training and be on standby for the Khabib-Tony fight.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, isn't it? Just chuck him up and one of them pulls out.
But can I ask you, Joe, though, do you think Conor would fight Tony if Khabib was the one who were to pull out?
Would Conor fight Tony?
For the gold, yeah. If it was for the belt, yeah.
I don't think it would be for the belt. I don't think Dana would strip Khabib in that situation.
Nah, he would. Dana is so ready to fuck over Khabib.
I get that. That is fucking, like, dude, doing shit like that is almost like saying that your league is arbitrary and has no rules.
Yeah, but he would do that because he knows as big as Khabib is in Russia, McGregor is bigger than anyone. And you put that belt on the line for the McGregor-Ferguson fight, then plus someone's just got to tell Khabib, yeah, he strips you, one of them wins, and then you get a big fight then when you return to claim your belt, etc. So it works out for everyone.
You know, Khabib is not like that. He's not that kind of cat, man, which is why I respect Khabib so much. Like, he will ride for his beliefs and his friends and his religion. Like, that's why I love Khabib.
Do you reckon...
Joe, he will not strip Khabib, man. There's no fucking way. If when is that fight going down? It's pretty soon, right?
Yeah, April.
April. So he fought in Abu Dhabi. He fought recent enough. He's a massive star right now. He is the face of the lightweight division. There's no fucking way he's going to strip him. The most thing that Dana can pull at this point, without completely, you know, like fucking shooting himself in the foot, is maybe create an interim belt. That's the most that they can do, mate. Trust me. He cannot strip this guy. There's no fucking way. He's undefeated for how long? Like he can't do that, man. Like there's no dispute here, right? Yes, Tony is the first in line, but Khabib is the champion. And if for some reason that fight falls apart, I really don't see a scenario where he can strip him, man. He'll have to find a solution, obviously, and he's gonna fucking go nuts because that's like the fifth time that this fight has fallen apart.
Yeah. But, yeah, that image of Dana in the hospital with the rebound. So let me ask you, Kipa, then, do you think he would fight Tony then for like an interim belt if Khabib would want to drop out?
I'd give him a better chance of winning.
I don't see the weird thing is McGregor's not the type of guy to fight for an interim belt. I think that's, he probably thinks that's beneath him, you know, and he'll, knowing obviously the rivalry, I think if that scenario does happen, then Conor will go on a fucking campaign to point the finger and say, see, this is your fucking hero, right? He always pulls out something like that. I mean, I could definitely imagine, but would he take the fight for an interim belt? I don't know. I could see him also pressing Dana to say, fuck this, yeah? Strip that motherfucker.
But do you think he would fight Tony then, I guess, just as a...
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would fight Tony.
Fight, you'd rather fight the trilogy fight with Diaz before that.
Diaz is a bit...
That, weirdly, is probably the biggest money fight in the UFC.
I'm not too sure about that. I think, for example, Conor versus Masvidal for the bad Motofuku is also a big fucking seller, man.
I think you can get how big... Go on.
I was just going to say, I think Conor Khabib rematch would be the biggest of all of them.
Yeah, possibly. I think Diaz, we forget how big Diaz was. Like, Diaz is way, way bigger than Masvidal is, even now.
I don't agree with that.
Well, it's to the casuals, though. They don't know who Masvidal
is. Oh, you mean bigger as in, like, star power?
Yeah. Just like a... Okay. Obviously, it's a better fight, because I think Diaz probably is done.
You know what, though, Joe? I think it's almost impossible to kind of figure out how big of a star Diaz is, because, like, all of those numbers that... There were Conor fights. And I mean, you could, I don't know if I agree with this argument, but you could make the argument that whatever numbers the BMF fight did, more of that was Masvidal. And I don't know, that's just conjecture at this point, but I think there is something to be said about a fresher face. Like, not just physically, like literally, obviously Diaz has a really fucked up face, but I mean, just, I think people are excited by the prospect of a new opponent in Masvidal and just kind of like what he represents. So even though Diaz could be a bigger star, I do think Masvidal would probably generate more numbers just because of the challenge.
And Masvidal's win against Diaz was very dominant, right? So there's a lot of that transfer of fame that happens, right? I think because he really, to be honest, he really beat the piss out of fucking Diaz. Yeah. His appeal is a little bit less, right? And Masvidal was already on the come up. He was already getting quite famous with the three piece and the soda and all that bullshit. Like, he was getting some fame, man. And then when you fight for the BMF, and The Rock puts a fucking belt around your waist and you beat the crap out of Diaz, I think there's something to be said there. I think the next fight will show Masvidal's like true star power. And I definitely think he's up there, man. If in terms of the entire UFC, I think I would give him like maybe top five, like guys in terms of fame, man. Like he's really up there and he's just an appealing guy. He's a street fighter, like I think a Conor versus Masvidal fight would be pretty intense, man, especially the build up too. Like Masvidal is not fucking around. He's also said some things in the media about, Conor, about the way he's been acting and all that. I think that shit would get real. Like I like it, but. Again, we're talking in the future. He needs to get past Cerrone first, and then we'll see. And again, style, weight-wise, I think Masvidal is also a little bit too big, man. And Masvidal knows how to strike.
Dude, Masvidal is sick with it, man. I mean, even against Diaz, I mean, that Diaz fight, I mean, he was still outmatched, but man, like, just his arsenal and striking is fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Masvidal knows how to sit down on his punches.
He's diverse. He's got punches. He's got kicks. Ashtibaki. He's got everything, man. Like he's, I really like about Masvidal? I like his fucking body kick, man. Like he throws a nice little, when he was exchanging with Darren Till kicks as well, like you could see like, well, hang on. This guy fucking knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, his body punches too, man. Holy shit. He was digging on them. Darren.
Darren too. We need to talk about him as well. Yeah. But yeah, boys, is there anything you want to add about this whole McGregor circus that's about to kick off? I'm pretty much okay with it. I'm glad to see Conor back. And I think we're going to get a good fight.
Let's just see where he goes. Let's see how, if he's done or if he's back.
All right, sweet. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about a few things that happened in the past. I'll just run down a few fights and you guys, give me a vibe of whether you really want to talk much about it or not. I think we need to talk about, Usman Covington, man.
Great fight.
Yeah. Number one, great fucking fight, right? Usually when you have two wrestlers, it kind of favors the fans a little bit because they kind of cancel each other out and then we just end up throwing down. But I did not expect these two guys to be that aggressive, man. Like from round one, they were just throwing down. And for both guys, man, like I think both of their striking has really noticeably improved. Like Covington used to be really, really fucking crude. And I think he's looked really good. He's got a weird stance though. He does this little like he's dancing salsa or whatever, you know, like he shakes his upper body a bit. It's a bit odd.
It's weird too. That's a weird jab. But granted, the fact that he throws it and consistently, like that's really good striking in MMA.
Yeah. And like you said, he's consistent, right? He keeps the activity up. Usman had really, really nice, rangy, straight punches.
You gotta call Usman Marty Fake News, my man. Come on.
Marty from, what is it, Nebraska?
Yeah, Marty from Nebraska, dude. Mr. 30%.
He's a Division II scrub, man, a D2 scrub.
Come on, man.
But I was impressed. Honestly, I've seen other fights with Usman where he just bores the fuck out of me and he just presses guys against the cage and does this sort of Randy Couture style, you know, where he just wears dudes down. And yeah, he's physically strong, but I never really was entertained by any of his fights. But I've noticed, man, he throws lately, crisp jab and a crisp straight right hand, man. It's really, really nice and straight. I thought he was fantastic.
Henry Hoof did a really good job with him.
I knew you were going to say that.
He's a guy that's like, he has all the basic ingredients to be a champion because his gas tank is incredible. Like, he will fight the same fight for 5 minutes each round for 5 rounds. So all you have to do, I think, as a trainer is sort out his fundamentals and his striking because you know he's always going to be doing whatever you're telling him to do for 25 minutes in a fight.
Yeah, but I think also like talent wise and some things you just can't teach, right? I think some people will become a fantastic striker also by their natural talent and other people just won't. Like for example, Damian Maia or Ben Askren, especially Damian Maia has been striking much longer than Usman, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy's a veteran of the game and he's been trained by the fucking best, but his punches never look good. Like his punches never look nice and straight, crisp with the right torque from the hips and the shoulder. It just doesn't. But Usman, I think it finally came together in the last fight, man. Like that right hand was, I keep saying it, like it's just fantastic. And he knows how to control range as well. I saw a little John Jones, man. I saw a little bit of that range finding, you know?
He switched to southpaw a few times.
That's because he broke his hand, dude.
Well, yeah. But the fact that he pulled that off.
That's what I'm saying. It's fucking crazy, man. This dude doesn't even run. Like, he has some foot condition where he can't run. And I remember somebody said, like, the dude can't even walk on concrete. He has to walk on grass when he walks in, just like in his personal life. So all he does is use a bike, he swims, and yet he has that good of a gas tank. It's fucking nuts.
I didn't know that, by the way. Yeah. That's pretty insane. Man, it's that African cardio, bro.
Yeah, bro.
He's just a fucking unbelievable. The thing is, this is kind of how Woodley looked.
Exactly. I was just going to say the same shit, man. You remember when they fought? We were like, oh my God, Woodley is like has a second best body in the league after obviously the Cuban gay Jesus, but fucking Usman made him look like a small guy, man.
That's the thing. Welterweight, especially like the peak. I mean, who's really after GSP? We haven't really like Lawler had a bit of a run, but it's the most competitive division because you know you have to be so good and in your prime to be a champion.
Yeah, it was 155, and now it's probably 170, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, Woodley, like, I couldn't see anyone beating Woodley for a very long time. And then you kind of got someone who's even better in every sense in Usman. And I can't see anyone beating him unless the Covington fight has taken too much out of him.
I think Usman is way more well-rounded in all senses of it, right, than Woodley ever was. Because Woodley has these fights where he looks absolutely fantastic, and then he has this fight where he's like backs up against the cage, and he fights really passive, And a lot of it is just based on his athleticism, man. Like, it's the threat of that crazy punch coming out that kind of keeps people at a distance. Whereas Usman really, it's just more of a natural kickboxer, man. Like, the way he was controlling range, I think he's much more of a natural fighter than Woodley is. Woodley is a fantastic athlete, and he knocked a lot of guys out by doing like a crazy blitz type of, you know, punch.
Yeah.
Usman has all kinds of techniques, man. He's got good Muay Thai techniques. He does a little teep kick as well, like John Jones. In fact, I even think their frame looks kind of similar, you know. They're big fucking dudes with skinny legs, and they still have more strength than their opponent, you know. Like, yeah, it's but I'm not going to lie, guys. I was kind of hoping for Covington to win. I just wanted him to fucking win, just to hear him talk more bullshit.
It's just such a fucking troll. But then you sometimes think that he probably isn't. He actually believes all the Trump shit now. Like, at the start, I thought, oh, he's obviously just doing this. Like, when he was, like, tweeting people the spoilers from Star Wars and whatever, I was like, oh, this is just classic trolling. This is great trolling. But then when he went on his Trump vibe, like, I genuinely think he believes the stuff he says about, like, Trump and fucking about immigrants and stuff like that. It's fucking mental.
I think he's a Trump voter, definitely, but I think he just turns it up a notch for the publicity, right?
Well, it's helped his career anyway. That's clear.
Mate, I can't really fault it, right? He gained a lot of publicity. He became a bit, not really a draw. I think a draw is maybe a bit.
Well, he was the guy. He was, out of everyone in the UFC, he was the guy people wanted to lose.
Yeah, and he played that card very well, right? He knew the business. He knew what it was in for. And yeah, okay, when you lose, you know, it becomes a complete shitstorm, right?
That's why I kind of think maybe it was a genius decision for him to run away after, because that just adds to the myth around him of being a complete fucking troll and shit bloke. Whereas if he'd have stayed in the ring and given like a really humble speech, he kind of would have, the mask would have slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
And to be fair, man, when you have that great of a fucking fight, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that
people, it's like, you can talk as much shit as you want, man. You, like, you gotta give respect where it's due. And I think it's, I don't think Colby's all that funny anymore. The whole, you know, virgin shit, you know, having three girls from Pornhub or Brazzers on your side isn't really cutting it for me anymore, man. But, hey.
But yo, he broke his jaw though, man, in the fight.
I know.
Yeah, look, he's obviously a fucking tough bastard, isn't he? Like, you can't not say that.
He's an ugly motherfucker too, man. Which is why I think it's so interesting that he talks all that shit. He looks like the fucking alien in Alien Resurrection. You know, like the queen alien. Like, he has a really weird looking face, man. But hey, if you give him some side pussy, then all the better to him, man. Fair play to him.
Well, I don't know about whether he's actually getting that puss, but
I've rewatched the fight, and I sometimes think he probably won.
No, it was very close.
Yeah,
dude, there were so many punches thrown, man, and landed. Like, you really have to like pay attention and count, and then distinguish between what is doing more damage. It's tough to score those rounds, man, because of the large volume of activity.
Yep.
Cool. I think Usman did press the fight. I think he was always on the front foot, wasn't he?
And yeah.
He had such a big fifth round, didn't he? I mean, that was the killer. That was the fucking killer for
Colby. But even before, though, Colby's output was probably, what, like twice of that of Usman? But I just felt like Usman threw... Like, he just had bad intentions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just rewatching the fifth round now. There's no difference between Usman in this round and the first round.
No, it's the same pace. It's the same, you know, he's not tired. It's just the same, yeah. It's just, it's exactly the same guy in the first and the fifth round. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, do you guys want to talk about the rest of the card?
What else was on that card, man? I didn't really note down any other notable fights for this.
Holloway, Volkanovski. I'll just say quick. I'm actually not that big of a fan of Max. Like, I respect the guy a lot, but,
you think he's a retard?
I think he's really dumb, but yeah, but, Volkanovski, dude. Volkanovski, dude, that gym in general, like, holy shit.
I love Volkanovski. I love everything about that guy.
The thing is, I don't know much about him because he seems to have a really bland personality.
I just saw him say that thing to Colby about being a nerd or a virgin.
That was funny. He's like, there's nothing wrong with being a nerd or a virgin. Right? Really cool, man. But you, dude, he's so good. Like, when you look at a guy like him, I think of a guy like Chad Mendes where I wouldn't expect much on the feet, but holy shit, his arsenal is just fucking class. And that gym is just doing great things, man.
Picky, you could say that he's fought everyone at the right time, because, you know, he fought Mendes and he's, you know, Mendes is done, Aldo is very done, and really Max, it'd be interesting to see how many more fights Max wins in his career, because
that's fair. But I will say that I still think Max probably isn't in his prime anymore, but I don't think he's that far away from it, just because the fight before or after, I don't know, but he fought Frankie, he fought Ortega at least with the past year. Yeah. And I think just going off of that and what Max was able to do against those two guys versus how just Volkanovski just pieced him up.
If they make the Poirier fight, that's the one that I think will cement Volkanovski's legacy. Because I think that's a guy, two guys genuinely in their prime.
Oh, at 55?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Rogan said that Volkanovski used to be like 220 pounds,
yep.
Right?
It's a rugby player.
He's got such a small frame, Volkanovski, isn't he? Like, you can't imagine him going up any higher.
How the fuck was he 220 pounds when he was playing rugby?
I don't know, he was just eating elk meat, bro.
Dude, Rogan is, I don't know what this guy's smoking these days, man.
Back in the day.
Ah, man. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Max is, I feel like the blueprint for Max is out there now, man. I think he was in his prime. And it's a bit weird to say for how young the guy is that he's now out of his prime, but he's been on a couple of wars now, which I feel like have taken quite a bit out of him. But he stands very upright, and I think he's quite easy to be hit, man. There's not much head movement there.
He's not reflexive.
No, man. He just has volume, but he stands so stiff and upright in the air. You rush in with a few hooks, it's very easy to tag him, man. It's kind of boxing 101. Like, he pulls back straight as well. Like, you can't do that shit, man, at this elite level. He got away with it in the past because he's kind of lanky and he just presses the action with these long rangey punches. But once you have somebody that knows how to deal with that, I think it's only going to go downhill from here, man. Like, people have figured him out.
Yeah.
Unlike Amanda Nunes, who was very happy.
Yeah, I don't watch that stuff.
I don't see how anyone beats Nunes ever.
She's a lioness, man. She's very good.
She probably. I know it's difficult. difficult because the competition in the women's game is obviously not the same as the men's at the moment. But it's difficult to say how she isn't like a top 10 fighter all time across both genders.
Well,
like, man, I haven't even gone down that road.
It's so hard to compare men and women, man, in mixed martial arts and in boxing for that matter, because the level of competition is just so different, man.
Wait, but let me ask you a follow up question, Kimo. Do you think trans athletes should be able to fight in the women's division?
Oh, that's not good.
Trans athletes?
Yeah.
Hell fucking no. No. Anybody that thinks that is a fucking idiot. Yeah? Genetically, you have the bone structure of a man and the strength of a man. I don't care how many fucking estrogen pills you took, yeah? You have that genetically born, and that will never leave you, right?
But it's way, way worse in boxing and UFC. Way, way worse. Just like cycling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's just unfair. But if it's boxing or UFC, then it's just, it's fucking dangerous.
Dude, you guys have all, I mean, Lim, you've boxed, right? You, jiu-jitsu, have you rolled with women?
Yeah, and obviously it's just a completely different experience because...
Man, I was just trolling you, fucking idiot. I didn't think you were going to go down this route.
I know you were trolling, but it just set me off, man, because I've been dealing with a lot of PC pussies lately, and I got to just check their privilege, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got the strong woman.
I'm watching Book of Mormon next month. That's going to be fucking incredible.
It's in London, isn't it?
It's in Bristol.
About the UFC 244.
Yes, in fact. Let me just check my list, man. We need to talk about 244 to BMF. We kind of touched on that a little bit already. I don't know if you guys have anything to add about Masvidal or Nathaniel Diaz, but we did have in the main card as well our boy Darren Till against Calvin Gastelum, which I thought was a surprising fight, man. I've talked some shit about Darren Till, but I really respect him. He went up in weight and he fought a fucking killer, and he did it, and within one super high risk fight, which could have been an absolute career destroyer, he has managed to resurrect his entire career, and now he's a contender, which is fantastic.
I know, but I question how much further he will go.
Why?
Because I still think there's something holding him back.
What? Based on what?
I don't see what are the top 10 welterweight does he beat? Really? Does he get anywhere near? I think Adesanya is probably a better matchup for him than some of the other guys.
But the counter argument you would make is that he just beat the guy who went life and death with Adesanya.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, styles make fights.
But I get your point though. Like, yeah, just like perceiving a fucking Till versus a Yoel fight would be disastrous. You know, you probably wouldn't think of any kind of good outcome for Darren in that fight unless he knocks him out.
But I don't know about that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I think Joe's point stands in that the physicality difference between Darren and all these other guys is going to be pretty vast, I think.
Because Gastelum he's even though he's bulky, he's still a small middleweight.
Oh yeah, he should be fighting at 170 probably.
Yeah, he should. He's just a fat fuck.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you put him in there against Robert Whittaker. I don't see how he wins that.
Really? I think he'll do quite well against Whittaker, actually.
Yeah, I think he's technically a much better striker, and especially Whittaker can go full retard regarding his striking, man, like he did in his last fight against Adesanya, man, like swinging from the fucking hips. What the fuck was that?
I mean, but yeah, like Darren versus even Acosta would be pretty, pretty frightening for a little bit.
Well, at least Till Adesanya would be the greatest walkout in the history of the sport. You sweet Caroline, it's a mental fucking dance room entrance.
I'm a bit more positive than you are, young Joe. I think Till, again, is very young. I think he obviously was at a weight that was not ideal for him. And I think he's still got a lot of growth ahead of him, man. Do I like his risk management in his career? Not really, because these type of fights, man, they can easily just fucking, short circuit your fucking career, man. Like, he's already been knocked out brutally once. Like, let's not do this that often. And again, when you go against Gay Jesus, like, you know, there's a chance of that happening with some flying fucking knee against your temple. But I liked what I saw, man. I think Till's got some skills and I think he needs to keep working at it. And if he becomes more of a cerebral guy like he did against Gastelum, why not, man? I don't know. I'm overall quite positive. I like the style that he fights, man. The same with Wonderboy. Okay, it wasn't a great fight, but he shows patience. He shows that he can, you know, use his skills in there. I don't know.
So high on Till. I don't understand.
I'm not high on him. I'm just positive. I see that he's at his right weight, But do I think that he easily beats Adesanya? Hell no, man. Like, that is, but Adesanya has vulnerabilities as well. I want to see more of him at this weight. So far, I think he did really well against arguably a top three guy.
You can't say Gastelum's top three.
Dude, he fought for the title and beat the fucking crap out of the champion.
Let me have a look at this. Right.
Yeah, and he also beat Souza Jacare when Jacare was still good.
Dude, Gastelum's underrated, bro.
He had really good 185 wins. But but the reason why I like Darren is just his story is fucking amazing to me. Like, just moving to fucking Brazil when he's 18 years old and just learning, picking up the language in 2 years and all that shit. I just think it's beautiful. It's so touching.
Dude, give me Joe Morgan. Morgan, I'm going to put you on the spot, right? What's the top three right now? Number one, Adesanya.
Bisping.
Who's number two, man? And also by, not just by what you think is achieved, is like the skill set, but also what have they achieved, right?
Well,
is Gay Jesus number two?
Yeah, I'd put Romero up two or three.
Okay. 185 is actually surprisingly very thin right now. It's like at the top, well, there's two.
I'd put Adesanya, Whitaker, and Romero top three.
Top three.
That's fair, but then you would slide Gastelum in number four, right?
I think he's probably a top 10, maybe.
Who's number four, man? Come on. How is that possible?
Jacare?
No! Kelvin beat Jacare, dude.
Jacare is a bit on the decline, man. Come on.
Yeah, didn't Jacare just get his ass beat by Jan Block?
Lovato Jr. I'd put in there. Dude,
beat the fucking piss out of him.
I'd actually put Rafael Lovato Jr. in there. I know he's at Bellator, but he's probably not any of them.
Stop it, bro. Anyway, I'm happy about Tillman. Do you want to move on to the big Australia card?
Yes.
Talk about the big entrance.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, man. That fight really turned me into a decent fan.
Are you Ariel Helwani or what? A decent.
Yeah, the walkout was pretty cool. I mean, it was kind of cringe, but it was also it was pretty cute. It was like Cejudo cool. You know, like, I respect people who are that into whatever fucking things that they like in their lives. You know, that most people might find nerdy or whatever. I find it pretty cool. But for me, it's not the actual walkout itself. It's more of the fact that he has the audacity and the confidence to be able to do that shit, have something coordinated before a fight in front of 60,000 fucking people, and just be able to kind of like have that calm and collected demeanor about himself. And then contrasted with Whitaker's walkout where he's just pounding his chest like a fucking maniac. And Israel being able to knock him out just so cleanly in two rounds was really, really impressive to me.
Clean work, yeah?
Just very, very clean work. He fucking knocked him out two times, yeah?
I couldn't.
The first and the second.
What I couldn't believe was I didn't think Adesanya had that sort of power. I'd always seen him as sort of like your Anderson Silva. I know Silva could actually knock people out in his prime, but just the guy who would go around you, kind of like the Holloway, he might overwhelm you. I didn't think that he had that sort of power in him to get a guy like Whitaker, who's obviously got, you know, a pretty decent chin. You know, I can't really remember the last time I saw Whitaker.
I'll be really nitpicky, though. I don't know if Whitaker has a great chin. I just think he's an incredibly tough human being.
Yeah, he's been dropped a few times, right? Like, he gets into wars.
Arrow, but still, he got very, very visibly hurt on multiple occasions in the second Romero fight. So, I mean, I don't know if Adesanya has great power, but he was just, I think you're going to knock anyone out with the punches that land, Adesanya landed.
You know what's crazy is that Adesanya is older than Whittaker.
Yeah, Adesanya's pretty fucking old, man. What, he's like 30,
32, 33? He's
30,
but...
He's had that kickboxing career, man, in glory. Do you think he's a better striker than Anderson Kuhn, Joe Morgan?
Anderson? Nah, of course not. Because, I mean, Anderson Silva, I'm looking at his show dog now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's lost 8 of the last 9 fights.
Well, he's obviously not in his
huge
prime.
Steaming piss on his legacy, isn't he?
Well, once you get popped multiple times, it kind of leaves a little bit of a stain, doesn't it? I think Adesanya is a great striker. I think he's creative. He probably has a better ground game than we think. I was just really disappointed in Robert Whittaker, man. Like, I expected more of him. I've said it before. He just swung from the hip and he fought like a retard. And for some reason, he thought that he could kind of do that Kelvin Gastelum type of pressure game plan. And it just wasn't the same type of execution, man. It just looked really bad for somebody who knows how to just do a little counter step back. Step back counter, like that's easy money, man. So, good for him. I still think he's cringe though, Lim. I don't know, man. There's just something about him that just rubs me the wrong way. I love people who talk shit, but whenever he talks, there's just something that rubs me the wrong way. I don't know, man. It just doesn't hit me, you know, with Connor, like it just.
Well, you can be a dick like me and just say it all right. I don't think it is. Israel really knows what he's saying half the time. Like, I think he thinks what he's saying is like really woke or it makes sense, but I don't really think it really makes all that much sense what he's talking about.
I feel like people also are exaggerating a little bit about him. They're putting him on that sort of pedigree where he's like some sort of superstar. I don't know if he is, man. Look, the Aussies come out the fights, right? They do. Right, they love that fucking shit. So the fact that they and him and Whittaker filled up a stadium doesn't necessarily surprise me. But to call Adesanya now a new superstar, like Dana calls him, I don't know, man. I don't think he has it. I don't think he has that X factor. I think he's pretending a little bit to have it, but I just don't see it. I don't see him electrifying crowds, you know? I don't see when he comes out to a press conference that people are like going fucking nuts. You know what I mean? When Ronda or Connor or hell, even a little bit of John Jones, when they come out, like people react, whether it's for good or for bad, you know, like they react. I'm not too sure if has that X factor.
I agree, but I do think he's my fighter of the year.
I don't know,
it's
bro.
It's about the quality, I tell you. Yeah,
it is. It's about consistency, man. That's what it's about. Well, but I don't know, man. Look at what Artem did in bare knuckle boxing. He's got to be a shot too.
Okay.
You feel me?
Yeah. Cool. So I'm looking at the schedule too. So that was obviously 243. Dan Hooker versus Ally get on the undercard. I didn't watch that fight.
It was all right. I always like I Quinta, man, but he's reached his ceiling a little bit as well. He's not as good as I thought he would be.
Very like Tommy Coyle.
Yeah, a bit like that. But still a great real estate agent. So people in Long Island, holler.
Yeah.
You feel Long me? Island.
I did like him.
He was Raging Al.
Wasn't he? Raging Al, man.
Dude, his corner is the GOAT. His corner is fucking fantastic.
Like, what's your parameters for determining something as the GOAT?
You just put a microphone in that corner and that's it. Like, I just can listen to those guys for hours, man. I fucking love Matt Serra. They're just terrific dudes, man. I fuck with those Long Island guys, you know what I'm saying? Shout out Cage.
Okay. So yeah, there was a bunch of fight nights in between 243 and 242, but
you're such a cam, bro.
I don't know if there's anything.
Okay. Cool.
I'm just saying, man, we just have a lot of shit that we have to go through, so I don't want to fucking waste time.
Right. I'm going back in time, right? So I went to Khabib Poirier. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Dude, why don't you tell us, fucking UFC number one fan of Dubai? What was your experience like, man?
It was a weird event, man. The fucking venue was odd. Like, it was here. It was almost like peak humidity and heat when they did it here. Like, it was hot.
What time was it, the fight?
What time was the fight? I think it was around, like, midnight, the main event, if I remember correctly.
Oh, right. So it wasn't, like, during the day to catch up with. It wasn't, was it? Because it was, I remember now, it was like 7, 8 p.m. UK time, wasn't it? It was really good.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. But it really was just a massive fucking tent, to be honest. It was a massive tent in the middle of the desert, right? With a metal type of construction. Honestly, if you look at the arenas, right, if you compare the AJ one in Riyadh and the one they did here in Abu Dhabi for the Khabib fight, I mean, I wasn't at the AJ fight, but it looked more legit than the one they did here in Abu Dhabi. It was a bit strange, man. Like, the setup was kind of cool, but overall, like, they did a lot of these metal fucking pillars everywhere throughout the arena, which obstructed a lot of the vision of people, man. Like, I was still okay, but there were some people who bought tickets for, like, lower bowls who were literally sitting in front of a metal pillar and you couldn't see shit. Now, I would be, and that's not just one or two people, right? That's like a whole, column of seats. And I was like, man, if I paid for that fucking ticket, like $100, I would ask for my money back, man. I can't see shit. So there was something about the construction I thought was very off. I know they've done this shit before here. That was a little bit disappointing. But, it was a Dagestani fucking festival. There were so many Khabib lookalikes there. They all look the same. They all have a square head, shaved head, and a beard. And no, it's like
the chin strap beard as well.
The what?
It's like the chin strap beard as well. It's not even like.
Dude, their team is so fucked up. Like, looking at Khabib's entire team, like, they all fucking look the same.
Yeah, it's a demand. They all have the same fucking look, right? Better BF looks the same, right? It's the same fucking aesthetic. So it's all, man, it's all these fucking dudes everywhere, and everybody was wearing the Khabib, the wigs. And, the crowd was pretty dope. I mean, it was relatively, relatively, like, wild when Khabib came out. Like,
no alcohol there. People in there even drinking alcohol?
There was alcohol, man. They were serving beers and stuff. Yeah, there was alcohol.
But was it like a predominantly like Dagestani Muslim crowd?
I would say half of the crowd was like Russian Dagestani. The rest of it was all like just guys like me. You know, those few Brits in there, the expats, just local Arabs. There were actually a couple of Arab fighters on the card as well. There were
I remember thinking the atmosphere was quite strange. Not like bad strange, but it was just different.
It was good, man. Honestly, I think the crowd was pretty animated, especially when some of the Arab fighters came out to like Arabic intro songs and stuff. Like, people got pretty wild, man. And like I said, Khabib's entrance was pretty fire. Like,
I remember his entrance was very cool.
Yeah, people got lit for that shit, man. But, overall, it was just strange. Like, if you had to go to the food area, you would have to go outside of the tent to an outdoor area. And mate, you know, I know you guys have a different fucking, you guys use Fahrenheit, but like, it was 45 degrees outside, right?
Oh, okay, I understand that.
So I was fucking like sweating Fahrenheit buckets just to get a sandwich, man. It was crazy.
what fucking broke me was obviously was Poirier's interview after the fight.
Oh, he was sad, man. He was heartbroken.
He was just tearing up. I was so gutted for him.
Did you guys think he put on a good performance?
He did as well as he did better than Conor.
I don't think so. I mean, I guess that's a large part of that is going to be based on how much weight you give to the what was the position that Poirier had Khabib in for a little bit.
Guillotine, wasn't it?
Guillotine!
Yeah. Guillotine! So I guess
guillotine, Mac!
The thing is, you could tell, right? You could tell Poirier was in trouble, that Khabib was in trouble because of how active Khabib was on the floor. If he was completely safe and secure, he would have just waited in that position. But he knew it was close because of the amount he was trying to move his hips up. I think he was very, very close to tapping him.
Really?
Very close. I think if he could have just got that other leg out, I think, I'm just trying to remember the position now. I think he had one of his legs out. And the other one, I'll just try and find it now, actually. Where is it?
So, Joe,
go on.
I'm not breaking this down from a jiu-jitsu perspective like you, right? Like, technically, I don't know all the signs of when a guillotine is, like, mega tight or not, right? You can spot those little things. I personally cannot.
Right,
but it felt to me like one of those desperate fucking guillotine moves that I see in these type of fights, right? You have those guillotines that are, like, you know, like an alpha male one where you just know, like, okay, you know, he's got it, it's over, right? And it happens at a certain time in the fight. But sometimes you get these guys in a drag out fight where they do a guillotine and you know if he doesn't get it, he's gonna burn himself the fuck out. But he's gonna because it feels desperate, you know. And it felt desperate to me in the fight.
I agree completely that it was his last chance in the fight.
Yeah.
I think I remember listening to the commentary and. Obviously, Dan Hardy, who knows way more about this stuff than me, he was getting very, very excited. I think the problem was is that he had one of his legs out, but the other one was Khabib kept trapping the other one. And I think if he'd have been able to get that second one out, then it might have been a different story. But I think he was certainly deep enough. He just didn't quite have the angle.
That's the thing I noticed, because usually the guys who get it, they've got both legs out, right? Like you see, what's his name, man? The beautiful guy with the long hair. Just his name
Ortega.
Is passing.
Ortega,
yeah. When he fucking jumps on somebody and he locks those legs together, you know, like you fucking know that neck is gone, right?
Like you can obviously finish it with one leg out, but then you'd have to be, I think you're. You know, your technique and your placement of your arms would have to be better, or you'd have to just be super, super strong.
But does that really happen at this level with one leg out? I haven't really seen that, man. Like, you need to hit it perfectly to be able to tap a high-level MMA fighter, especially somebody like Khabib, man. Well, like, those half-assed fucking desperate guillotines, they never work, man. I honestly never see it.
Well, you know that Khabib's chin would have been tucked straight down, so he might have had to, like, face smash him as well. That's the thing. I don't think there's an angle which shows whether or not his wrist is underneath the chin or not.
Mm.
And I think if it wasn't underneath the chin, then, yeah, maybe it was never going to work, because I don't think Poirier is strong enough to do that. Or Khabib is just too tough. But, you know, it was, I think it was close. I mean, Dan Hardy seemed to think it was close. And that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I trust Dan Hardy as well. I don't trust Rogan because every guillotine is like for him is deep, you know.
Yeah, I mean the fact that he just immediately mounted his back after the guillotine was like kind of lends credence to your theory that maybe this was just like a desperate, the last ditch attempt.
Yeah. Wasn't there a moment in the corner where? Because when I watched it back, I remember there was a moment, I think after the first round or second round, where Poirier was just talking to his corner where he's just like, I can't get this guy fucking off me, man. Like he said something like this, right?
He said, after the second round, I think
I think that's so telling, man. That's so telling about how suffocating it is to fight Khabib. And it shows you that, you know, Poirier is in a fantastic training environment. But it's so obvious by the look on his face that he's never dealt with somebody like Khabib, man. Like, you just can't train for that. The way he puts everything together, you know, you can bring in a D1 wrestler
and wrestle the fuck out of you, but you cannot train for somebody with that type of strength, with the MMA techniques involved as well, and the ground and pound, man, because it's so hard to defend whatever he's doing, right? If you only defend, you're going to have fucking fists coming down on your fucking face, man. It's a tough style to deal with.
That's the difficult thing, I think, to train that, is that, you, like you said, you can roll with people, you can wrestle with people, but you, it's the fact that the position changes based on the fact that you could then get hit, you can then punch from that position. Because I think very few people will train all the time with the threat of punches when they roll or grapple. And that must change things. I mean, I've never done it, but it must change things dramatically when you think, oh, this is a safe position. Well, no, it's actually not, because you can hit my head from here.
Exactly. And some people, you know, for some people, for when you fight certain guys, you know, like half guard could be a safe position, right? That's, for example, if you look at old school, like MMA, like Randy Couture changed that, right? Half guard used to be a relatively safe position, but as soon as Randy came onto the scene, he beat the fuck out of you from half guard, right?
Yeah.
So, and if you go back even further, Tito Ortiz, you know, made full guard fucking unsafe, right? He just smashed you with elbows. Like, it's, and Khabib, man, he's so diverse, man, in his grappling, dude.
I think we've talked about this before. He will allow himself to get into guard because he feels as though that's more connection on the other person's body, which means he can control them more.
Mm-hmm.
He will want people. He doesn't want separation. He wants them to approach it as though, yes, I need to get in some sort of guard in place here.
The problem with him is like, you're always working. You're never, ever in a moment of peace when this guy is on top of you. And if you manage to get up, for example, like I'm watching highlights right now, you see when Poirier finally managed to get back to his feet and Khabib is still pushing him up against the cage, like it requires so much effort to get back to your feet, and boom, from then on, grabs a single, dumps you on your ass again, and you're back to square one. And it just keeps going, man. It must be so demoralizing, man. So demoralizing. And Poirier's got good cardio, but you keep doing that to a guy, you know, the will to fight just goes out of you at one point. His face, I think, told the entire story of the fight.
I've never looked forward to a fight other than a McGregor fight more than the Khabib Ferguson. I just hope that this fight hasn't come.
Yeah, just don't get your hopes up, my friend.
Do you think it's come too late for Tony?
No.
Do you think he's just not good enough?
What? Bro.
I don't think much has changed. I think this is a fantastic fight.
It's scrambled eggs, baby.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is Khabib's crowning moment.
I just meant don't get your hopes up as in don't think the fight is going to come into fruition.
That fight is cursed.
If Khabib dominates Ferguson, then he's probably, do you think he's even more of a dominant champion than GSP ever was?
You know what? I might be a bit controversial, but I'm going to say yes.
And I mean, why is it controversial though? Because it's not just the wins, but it's the manner in which you get those wins.
It's definitely the manner. That's point number one. And I think GSP was still fighting in the era where there was a lot of guys. Let me put it this way. GSP fought in the wrestle fuck era. Okay? He fought where there was a lot of wrestlers transitioning to MMA that got really, really far, i.e. Josh Koscheck, by having not really that many great skills, but a really powerful double leg and maybe a solid right hand, you know? But if you look at the guys, the level of skill that Khabib is fighting, I mean, look at Tony, man. If he beats Tony in a sound way, like, come on, man. Like, that is some of the most elite fucking MMA guys that we have in the scene today. They're so well-rounded. He has to watch out for so many different things when he fights Ferg. And I look at GSP's resume, and there's just a lot of guys there that are very one-dimensional, man. Josh Koscheck, John Fitch, you know, beating the shit out of a smaller BJ Penn. An old Matt Hughes.
Yeah, Dan Hardy. Yeah,
but, It's great. Yeah, Dan Hardy, very one-dimensional. I mean, at the time, that was the quality that was available, right? So I'm not going to really fault him that much for it. But if I just look at the, you know, how well-rounded you need to be nowadays to keep up a winning streak like this. And actually, scratch that, because he's not even that well-rounded. It's just that he does one thing so incredibly dominant that nobody can fucking stop it in this era. That is very rare, man. Who can still say that, right? Yeah. You have to be well-rounded these days. And Khabib, as we saw from the Conor fight, has decent striking, but his wrestling, nobody has the solution to it. Not even close. Like, who is actually capable of making it a close fight?
Ferg.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Yeah, Ferg, maybe. We with those elbows from the bottom and that scrambled eggs game, man. That's maybe your ankle could be. We don't know.
I can't wait to see. I don't even care about the stand-up in that fight too much.
And some Eddie Bravo conspiracy theories, and he's good.
Dude, he's 10th planet, bro.
I know he is. He's a black belt, too.
You know what the thing about Ferg, what I like about this Khabib fight, is that Ferg is a crazy motherfucker. He is absolutely insane, and he's going to be there from the first fucking bell till the last fucking round, man. He's going to be in there. He'll not get tired. He'll keep fighting, and he'll keep scrambling, and he'll just never get tired. And he'll
be this is insane. Don't talk about the fight, man. I remember I got tickets to the fight, and fucking that was a fight where Khabib and Tiramisu before. And then the main event I had to watch was fucking the Woodley Wonderboy rematch.
Mate, it's so far away. They're probably not even in camp yet.
No, Tony's in camp year round, bro.
Dude, he's always in camp, bro. What do you think this is?
No, they won't be in camp now. No way.
I sometimes try to imitate whatever Tony Ferguson says. But it's so hectic when he talks. Like I don't even remember all the things that he says. His quotes are fucking hilarious, man. The dude is fucking insane.
He's like,
I love the sunglasses that he wears, man.
The Oakleys, I swear.
There's always this running joke, man. You never fuck around with a dude who wears puka shell necklaces. You know? You guys know what puka shells are?
No.
They're like the Hawaiian, like, rock, the little, like, rock mineral type shit that you wear on your neck. And, like, if you wear that, like, 1 out of 10 times, like, the other 9s are going to be complete dweebs. But one of them is just going to be a fucking maniac killer, and that's what Tony is.
Have you not noticed that every single Tony Ferguson interview is one question followed by like a 20-minute rant? Like it's never really an interactive conversation. It's always like, hey, Tony, you know, how are you getting ready for this fight? And then he almost starts attacking the interviewer. You know, what do you think this is, man? You know, like, this is chess, it ain't checkers. And then he starts talking about his unconventional trading methods and running up mountains and fucking, you know, like, just goes off on a fucking tangent, you know, as if anybody accused him of anything, you know?
Can you imagine, like, dating him or living with him? Like, he's just so intense all the time.
Yeah.
The Oakleys are the best because he knows. I think he must know they look terrible, but he just went.
Yeah, he said it in interviews. He said it. He knows everybody talks shit about it. Yeah, he wants to wear it anyway.
He looks like he looks like he's in some like Michael Bay film from like the mid 2000s.
Oh man,
he could be in Gone in 60 Seconds as like one of the crew that carjacks all the cars.
You know when I really realized he's fucking insane is after that ACL surgery he had there. He recovered in like 4 months and he was sitting there like, yeah, everybody tells me it takes 8 months. I did it in 4. Now what? I'm like, what? Like, dude, you're fucking crazy, man. Like, seriously. He is absolutely nuts.
He'll be doing like ultra marathons when he's 50.
He's batshit crazy. I need to collect some of his quotes and have like a fucking Tony Ferguson bingo. But I like the scrambled eggs though when he's talking about he's going to beat Khabib in the scrambles. It's amazing.
They're always new though. That's the good thing about Tony is he doesn't regurgitate the same things. It's like there's always something mental and new that he comes out with.
He loves them elbows though, huh? He fucking loves that shit.
Oh, just no standing in that fight. Just get them, start them both on the ground. Just do EBI rules.
Just EBI. What is that? Eddie Bravo's thing where you're allowed to strike from the bottom or from the top?
It's like you start them in one position and then you have to like escape or sub and then you swap them around and whoever gets the quickest wins.
No, man, we need combat jiu-jitsu rules. That's Eddie Bravo's fucking league, man. You're allowed to strike, right?
We're gonna see some rubber guard, are we?
But by the way, for that fight, would you pick Khabib? I think so, right?
Yeah, you'd have to pick Khabib. If Tony's going to win, how would he win?
If Tony would win, I could see him stay active, constantly fight for submissions, throw elbows from the bottom, cut up Khabib, for example, like split his forehead open, and then eventually, you know, get it up to the on the feet again and just press him like he did against RDA, you know, just throw fucking crazy angles left and right.
Decision, then?
He'd probably lose a decision because he's not like, in terms of, I don't know actually. Yeah, in terms of control, I think he would lose a decision because let's face it, his takedown defense is not that good. He's good from the bottom, but his defense is not that great. And I think Khabib would get him down and eventually, if it would last for five rounds, Khabib's just simply been on top more, and I think he would win a decision. But I think it would be a very hard-fought fight, man.
Yeah, can I just say quickly, I think this is the only fight Khabib will go into where he's genuinely fearful of the other guy. I think he's always gone in knowing that he will, no matter what comes up against him, he can walk through it. I think with Tony, I think the myth and legend of Tony's variety will make Khabib think twice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the consistency and the cardio. Go ahead.
Yeah, there was an interview where Khabib's coach, Javier Mendez, was like, yeah, like, you know, Tony's like a badass motherfucker. And like, we know when that day comes, like, we know we gotta be at our best.
Yeah, so fight soon.
Yes.
Alright, I think we have a couple more fights just to quickly discuss. Cormier Miocic too, man. Fucking hell. Like, I love Daniel Cormier, and I've professed that love many, many fucking times on this show. But I did not see that coming. The way that Miocic just switched his game plan up, started like ripping body shots, and he fucking stopped him, and he just took it. I mean, what a performance, man. I really, really did not expect that from Miocic. I've never seen him do something like that, especially like in the mid end of the fight. Like, it was just incredible, man. Very high drama. I was kind of heartbroken for Cormier, to be honest. But they're going to do a trilogy, and I don't even know what's going to happen in that fight, but it still baffles me that Cormier is fighting, man. Like, he's a great commentator. I think he just needs to hang it up. I don't want to see him take more damage. He's done everything in this sport, unless he's still kind of waiting for a Jones fight. But
I think he knows that if he beats Stipe, the Jones fight will be his last fight.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think that he'll be able to walk away from the sport without fighting Jones.
Oh man, his ego might not allow him to walk away, but Jones doesn't seem to want to go to heavyweight out of principle, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, he doesn't want to go to heavyweight. So, I don't want to see Cormier go to light heavyweight for this.
Wasn't there some kind of leak where Jones tried to vouch for the or vie for the Stipe fight? And then Dana just refused it. I think it's more of a Jones ego thing where Jones is such a cunt that he doesn't want to fight Cormier at heavyweight, but he's willing to fight other people at heavyweight.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give Cormier that advantage, you know?
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, when you're 40, 41, 40 years old, you can't go back down to 205. It's nuts.
No, and he just never really... One thing I don't like about Cormier, and I, even though I respect him immensely, I never really like the fact that he doesn't really live the life in terms of his diet and his discipline. You know,
that, I think that part of that is bullshit, man. He probably just has really bad genetics.
Nah, I don't buy that.
Yes, dude, there's people like that where if they don't eat perfect and they're not working out every single fucking day, they're just going to gain weight.
Yeah, but he's man, he's fat. He's like obese, man.
I understand that, but some people are just genetically predisposed to being fat.
Okay, if you look at, for example, if you look at younger photos of Cormier, right? He at least looks more in like fighting shape. It's the same with like Fedor, for example. If you look at younger photos of Fedor, yeah, he obviously had some chub going on, but like he still looks muscular. You know, he still looks like he's in fighting shape. With Cormier, a lot of times he just looks pudgy as fuck, man. Like, and there's differences in between fights as well. Like, and you know, for a guy that does like commercials with Popeyes and all that shit, I just don't buy it. He's so goddamn talented. I think he's left something a little bit on the table in terms of his ability, because he is not a natural heavyweight. As good as he is at heavyweight, I don't think he's a natural heavyweight. He's similar like Gaston, right? Just because you have a lot of success doesn't mean that it's your ideal weight. But again, that's just me. I think you're right, Lim. I think Jones is such a ruthless cunt and also very cerebral. You know, he will not give up an advantage out of honor. You know, Conor will, for example. Conor will fight somebody at 170 because it's the right thing to do. Jones is like, fuck that. You come back down to
I think that's bullshit too. The whole Conor thing about 174 because it's the right thing. I think that's bullshit.
Well, with Diaz, I don't think it's bullshit. He took the rematch at 170, dude.
I don't know, man. I think, as a fighter, man, why would you? I don't know. That's hard to believe for me. I feel like I will give you some. That actually is a pretty good rebuttal, but I just think like it's one of those things where he wanted to get as much. He wanted to maximize the credit that he was going to get if he were to win that fight. I don't know if it's necessarily like it's just out of honor or principle or whatever, but nonetheless, like this whole John Jones Cormier thing, like you're right, Kimo, he should just fucking retire because as a 40-year-old dude, you're just waiting on the outcomes of too many things that you don't have control of at this point. I mean, obviously, a win against Stipe, yeah, that's a step in the right direction. But even then, after that, like, what are you gonna do, man? Like, you're one of the best of all time. You already knocked Stipe out the first time. And dude, I don't know if you guys recall in the rematch, like he was fucking Stipe up.
Yeah, he was.
Like that round. I forget if it was the round, that round, that particular round where Stipe made the adjustment to the body shots or the round before, but the DC was fucking lighting him up, man. So I just don't think he has much to prove, dude.
No, his legacy is absolutely sealed. And in my opinion, he is one of the greatest fighters ever. Man, I can confidently say that. Yep. His resume is absolutely insane.
Yeah. All right. Any other cards?
What else you got, Ev? What did we talk about? Well, we're going back in time a little bit, maybe too much. We had Holloway Poirier 2, which we've never talked about, but I thought it was a great fight. Yeah.
It was great, but like, I think because of what we know now and the events that unfolded afterward, it's kind of like a fight that just isn't interesting because of hindsight.
So for me, like that was one of the missteps of Max Holloway's career. He took a lot of damage in that fight, man. Fucking hell, like he took a lot of clean punches from Poirier, and given the weight as well, like I just don't think it was a good career move. I'm yes, it's brave to, you know, to step up and go for it and try to be great, but I don't know. I think it took a few years off of his career, you know. So I don't know if you guys have anything else to comment about that, but if we're gonna go more back in time, we obviously have Till Masvidal as well that happened. I think we've talked about it enough. Are there any other fights that come to mind, guys, from the past that you guys want to discuss? Maybe Korean Zombie. No? You were gonna go to that, by the way. Huh?
Yeah, but if you fought Ortega, I was gonna go if he was gonna fight Ortega, but Frankie, nah, I wasn't that interested.
Speaking of guys that need to retire, like Edgar, I love you, dude, but just hang it up. Another fantastic career, but there's no reason for you to still be fighting. Like, even though he still is kind of a top fighter, but yeah, to get stopped like that by the Korean Zombie, I think that's very telling. I think now's the time to make that decision and realize maybe I just don't have that durability anymore, man. It's kind of sad.
All right, man. Any future fights?
Well, we have, what do we have? We have on February 8th, we have Jones versus Reyes, man. What do you think about that?
Reyes.
Did I say Reyes? Yeah, I did.
Reyes. Reyes. I don't have no hype for this fight whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know much about Dominic Chimo.
Why is he still...
But he's an athlete, bro.
Why is he still destroying guys at light heavyweight? What's the point?
I don't know.
Because of legacy, bro. Dude, Jones is comfortable, man. Like, he makes the weight pretty decent. I don't know how, because he's absolutely humongous. But... like I said, he's the type of guy that doesn't want to give up the advantage, right? So he's just staying where he needs to be. And I think he's just going to break record after record in the light heavyweight division. And maybe until a point where he thinks like, okay, now I've really, you know, had longevity in my career. Let me do one or two fight at heavyweight to kind of seal the deal as the GOAT. That's what I see Jones doing. I don't see him having an extensive career at heavyweight. I think he knows his limits.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you foresee any like stylistic challenges from Reyes? I don't think so personally. He's got power, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, like John said in that press conference, it's all he has is a right hand, or at least what he's shown is just hand. So.
Yeah, he was trying to talk shit a little bit there as well. Wasn't exactly.
Yeah, and what was telling about that press conference was that by John, like, belittling and demeaning Reyes as much as he did, he was just telling the public, yeah, this fight is shit. You probably shouldn't watch this fight because I'm pretty shit. Yeah.
Ashtabaki.
Yeah, the schedule's pretty shit, actually, for the up until UFC 249, which is the...
Yeah, there aren't that many like electrifying fights. We have like Francis Ngannou against Rozenstruik, which is not that exciting. It's probably going to be a violent knockout. Though, I mean, I'm always tuned in for the Predator. What else we got? We got Lee against Oliveira.
We got Yun Jae Chik, new titties versus the Chinese Dragons.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was confirmed. Dude, she's pretty good, man, the Chinese.
I don't know how Yun Jae Chik makes weight with those new titties.
Yeah, she's already struggled, man, normally. I don't know. I think she's also pretty much done. That Chinese girl can fight, man.
She's like the up-and-comers, isn't she?
Yeah. She's going to change the market, bro.
Where's fucking Cyborg gone?
Bellator.
She's gone, bro. Nunes knocked her into fucking Bellator.
I know, dude. And then this is the one time I actually believe Dana White when like a fighter was leaving and like Cyborg was like, I wanted the fight, but you know, Dana was just like, I don't want it. And Dana was like, of course I want this fucking fight. You know, like I want Nunes to fuck you up again. So
Dude, that was such a crazy fucking upset.
Yeah.
Like, she knocked her out, bro. Like, Jesus Christ. Much respect to Paige, man. She's great. What else we got? We got Felder versus Hooker. That's a nice little card. But there, apart from that, there's absolutely nothing on that fucking card.
I can't believe Khabib is like 13, 14 weeks away. That's insane.
Yeah. It's too much time, man. It's too much anxiety.
Yeah, you make it like,
something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Dude, we have another fight card that's like headlined by Joseph Benavidez. Fuck me, man. That is a disaster of a card. What else we got, Ev? Jones Rogers.
We got Megan Levy.
Yeah, but I don't know, bro. Benavidez is going to retire, and then what? Got no money left. I don't know if Megan is going to stay with him, bro. I'm worried about that shit. And we got Curtis Blaze versus JDS. That's okay. Cool. RDA versus Michael Chiesa, the Maverick.
If RDA is like into like fuck all, no man's land.
Yeah. He's another guy that was just a killer at one point, and now he's just totally fallen off. Yeah, I don't know, man. This year's looking a bit boring, man. I don't know if we have anything else that's like not signed that's on the horizon. Adesanya versus Romero will get signed. I think that's pretty much a lock, right? Dana said that's happening. How do you see that fight playing out? I think Gay Jesus would do something?
I think Gay Jesus would do some shit, man.
I love you.
Dude, Jesus has a chin too, and like, just, you can't, I don't know if he's on steroids right now or not.
Of course he is, bro.
But I'm just curious, and why haven't they been able to catch him? And like, it's the same thing with Acosta. Acosta's been tested so many fucking times, like, why have they not been able to get a single positive sample?
Maybe it's too late, bro. Maybe he's not juicing right now, but he's taken so much fucking shit in his life, he just looks like that, right? I don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't really know, but the guy does not look natural, especially
I'll give you that. Yeah. No, but I think it's a super dangerous fight for Adesanya, man. Cause I don't think Gay Jesus is going to come in with that retard style like Whitaker is. And, you know, with fucking Romero, just get, like you said, Adesanya has holes in his stand up too.
You know what, man? I actually think at this point, I think a striker like Adesanya is too much for Gay Jesus, man. I just think he fucks him up. Nice traditional technique, good range of kicks.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. You need to give Romero opportunities to do some wild shit, you know, and guys like Weidman are very stiff and they'll stand in front of you.
Dude, that knee was fucking incredible, man.
Who would win now? Yeah, Weidman or Rockhold?
Dude,
I want to see that.
Right. Dude, that fight could happen. They're both at 205.
Who wins?
Dude, that's a great question, bro. Holy fuck, man. Rockhold was talking so much shit against his fight against Błachowicz, and then he got fucking pieced the fuck up.
you'd have to pick Weidman, wouldn't you?
But Weidman got his ass whooped by Reyes in this last fight.
I think Weidman's head is more still in the game.
Yeah,
I think Rockhold is really on, like, man, he's just out. Like, he's just not in it anymore.
Yeah.
Man, my favorite Rockhold memory is going to be that time when he went on that dating show.
Millionaire's matchmaker.
Yeah, then he just asked one of the girls, like, where can I come in your mouth?
What? I never saw that.
Fuck. He was a complete fucking douchebag. This girl. I think, and the host, didn't the host, like, have a go at him being like, you're a fucking scumbag?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
And then he went afterwards like, oh, it was edited really badly.
Yeah, it's like, how do you edit that part, you know?
He's like, no, you're just a fucking scumbag, mate.
That's funny. Dude, he really is the most awkward human alive, man.
He just is somebody who knows he can get any girl ever, so he's just become a complete dick around it.
You know, I don't even know if that's true, Joe, because like socially, he's so awkward. There's that one clip of him at the fight with Diaz, where Diaz is throwing up his middle finger and like fucking Rockhold is playing with his hands like Cam is when he's taking a picture. Like he's just playing with his hands and shit, and like he doesn't know what to touch or what to look at. He's a really weird guy, man.
Oh, funny. Funny, funny, funny.
Yeah. I would like to see that fight though, man. I remember how nice that first fight was. Like the ground game was so aggressive. It was great. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, I remember the spinning back kick by Weidman.
Oh yeah, great move. Fuck me. Weidman just keeps breaking my heart, man. I really, really think he's one of the most likable guys, but he just keeps fucking it up. And yeah, he's just pretty much
done, man.
Pretty much done. Speaking of being done, I think we've covered everything, guys. Unless there's any other, you know, like events or news and notes that you want to cover about the sport, you know, something about the architecture maybe, or promotional malpractice.
A financial construct on the sport.
By the way, a side note, how good is that fucking new Luke Thomas show? I really, really love that show.
Oh, well, I knew him and Campbell were like a cut above everyone when they were on the MMA beat every week. Like,
yeah.
Those guys were on the same vibe. They were so articulate and analytical. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah. Luke kind of grew on me. Like, he had one of his last live shows. Some dude just like questioned, like, why are you such a dick, bro? And it was like, yeah, I know I can really come off that way. It's something that I'm trying to get better at. You know, like when in my public life, when people see me, they just assume that I'm upset or mad or whatever. And it's like, dude, I like that. I can vibe with that.
Yeah, he's just an odd guy, but him and Campbell are, the chemistry is insane, man. And it's just a really fun show. Like I love Campbell's segment where like, did you see that shit? You know, like, man, the reactions of them together, it's just really good. It's a bit comedy. It's really analytical. And they both know what they're talking about in the respective sports, right? Campbell's got the boxing background.
They could easily just do a show about fucking gaming or Star Wars. And they'd vibe on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I really hope it stays. And I really hope they just expand, man. Because that bunker that they currently do it in, like, they could do so much better, man.
It's crazy how, like, fucking Schaub's Burger program gets 10 times what that show gets.
Burger program.
The one where you... Diet, bro.
Dude, Schaub got so fat from that program, by the way. Like, he gets so much weight.
The one where he just goes and eats really shit food with all these fighters. Like, they try and pass it off as like, oh, this food's so good. It's like...
Honestly, mate, I've ranted about this before we went on the air. Like, there's certain things I really, really do not understand about MMA coverage and media, man. Like, the stuff that they talk about on Morning Combat is so sharp and crisp. It's funny. It's intelligent. You know, it leaves me with a big smile every time. And then you have Schaub, you know, which is like, I'm sorry. He just doesn't have any talent as a fucking interviewer or media figure or pundit or whatever you want to call it. Like, he doesn't add anything special. Yeah, he's got a personality. I'll give him that, you know? But not for the best, you know what I'm saying?
But he's just such a bitch. He just wants to be everybody's mate. He doesn't want to have any, like... He's just the guy who agrees with everyone whenever he's around somebody. Oh, totally, bro. Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't think he's that interesting. And when you...
Yeah, he's not. He just isn't.
There's always a running joke on Joe Rogan's show whenever Schaub comes on. Like, Brandon would be like, no, you know what, man? I'm not really a fan. And Joe would be like, no, I think there's something pretty good about it. He's like, I totally agree. It's pretty good. Like, he'll switch 180 on anything.
I don't know why Rogan is such big mates to them, because Rogan, I think, is mates with guys who have opinions, like Eddie Bravo and Joey Diaz. Like, I don't understand what he sees in Schaub.
Yeah, but I don't understand why he's enjoyed Diaz either. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, Diaz is a fucking idiot, but.
Yeah,
well,
he's just a fucking idiot. And he's not funny, by the way. It's not funny. If you think that's comedy, you're a fucking moron.
Well, I don't think Rogan is that funny either. Yeah. I think he's interesting, but he's not, like, his stand-up is terrible.
Yeah, but people act like Diaz is some sort of, if you read the comments, people act like that he's some sort of comedy genius. I'm sorry. He's just a fat guy that's out of breath that sits on a fucking resident of fucking, you know, in fucking Manhattan in the 1970s, blah, 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 blah. Like, what's so interesting about that? I'm sorry. Like, if I want to watch somebody like that with actual talent, I'll put on the fucking Sopranos, you know?
Okay.
James Gandolfini.
Yeah, I just don't understand it, but there's a lot of things I don't understand, including Joe Rogan's comedy. But yeah, great show, and I'm really happy for them, man. And keep subscribing and liking that shit, you know what I'm saying? Because those guys need support, man. Because another thing is, like, how fucking retarded are a lot of these MMA media figures, man? Like, again, today at the presser, I just go into a blind rage when I see that fat fuck from MMA Junkie with his weird ass haircut. I don't even know what that is. And he just asks the most cookie cutter, like, bullshit ass questions that have been asked many times before. He always goes first and he's got nothing to add. Oh, Connor, you're coming back after, you know, inactivity of 2 years. How do you feel about all of this event? Like, for fuck's sake, man. We heard all of this already.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just frustrating, man. But yeah. Shout out to my homeboy, though, right, Lim? What's his name again? The football player? Ocho Cinco. Oh, what a dog.
Shout out to
that?
Shout out to the Schmo, man.
Shout out to Tennessee.
Actually, I've come around to Schmo. He's dope, man.
Shout out to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nah, bro. The Schmo is bringing something new. He's also banging that fucking Asian broad. Like, I fucks with the Schmo. I think he's dope. Yeah, he's banging, what's her name? Lynn or what, a Yao, whatever. I don't know, man.
Why are you so racist, dude? Her name is Helen Yu.
Oh, Helen Yu, yeah. The fact that you know that as well.
Yeah, because I met her before, which is really nice.
You said she has a speaking disorder.
She kind of has like not a speaking disorder. She has more of like a social disorder where she has anxiety.
Oh, fuck. All right, boys, I gotta go to bed.
Okay, give us your final thoughts then.
Final thoughts.
Or a little acoustic acapella skit, quickly.
Connor needs to reconnect to the mindfulness and meditation. Really, just the zen within him has been lost. And he needs to recapture that if he's ever going to obtain his past glories again.
I like how you say Connor.
Bit cowboy. Cowboy needs to give more respect to minorities and
and transgenders.
Yeah, I mean, cowboy obviously is a fucking relic, but
you got balls, dude. Man, you're a fucking dude.
when you have some time, Joe, go type up cowboy Rogan faggot on YouTube.
But Rogan secretly likes in. I think he just encourages it because he knows how it plays to his fan base. If he just encourages Cowboy to like spill his heart on all progressive issues.
I know Cowboy was like, yeah, man, when I call Cormier a faggot, I don't mean like I don't like gay people. Like he's a faggot, like he sucks dick or something, but I just mean he's fight like a pussy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very lost soul, Donald Cerrone, but there we are. What can you do?
Dude, I think in a lot of ways, Cowboy and Connor are probably very similar people.
Probably at the moment.
I think they'd probably be really good friends.
Yeah. Connor's become way more right wing as well. Fucking. Unfortunately. Jeez. There we are.
That just took a dark path.
Yeah. Yeah, there we are. Oh, boy. Yeah, no, good to catch up.
Peace out.
Thanks, Jiu-Jitsu.
See you, boys. All the best.
Lim, you wanna close the show?
Yeah, I mean, just another fantastic classic show, man. What can I say? It's always good to have the boys together. And, yeah, I don't really know what else to say, man.
Yeah, I agree. It's way long overdue, and obviously the streets have been hungry for this. So we do apologize for the long delay. But the king is back, so we're back. And, yeah, man, hopefully just have a great fight, over the weekend and a little bit more consistency, a little bit more activity. And, yeah, man, it's going to be exciting and maybe a little bit of Zuffa boxing action as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool, man. All right. Thank you guys. And, we'll wrap it up. This has been the Mystic Man Podcast. We are out.